Peace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to use that reading out of John chapter 11. This is one of those times when all three readings were very well known and lovely readings, but I'd like to take a look at that one for the sermon today. Had a member charge into my office, very upset this week. They'd gone to see the movie Noah, and they were troubled because it was departed from the Bible quite a bit. I was happy because someone cared enough about the Bible to be upset about a movie, and somebody was mad at somebody and it wasn't me. So it was like a win-win. But if you haven't seen the movie, I have not seen it. I don't suspect that I will. The movie was built by large rock creatures. The art is built by large rock creatures, and evidently, Noah decides to kill all his family sometime during the movie too, but is held back by his own But I have heard people say that it's a nice action movie, and you do so. Whatever you want to do, I'm not stopping you. But evidently, it's not overly biblical. The trouble with many attempts at making movies out of Bible stories is that many Bible stories have impossible elements to them, and frequently movie producers try to make some kind of believable thing from those movies. If you had to pick, what would you pick as the most unbelievable story in the Bible, or what would you pick as the most impossible? When the world picks what's wrong with the Bible, many times they pick creation because it just seems impossible. And now that the Noah movie was the number one grossing movie the first week, made $43 million or something, it became kind of the topic on people's minds. And in both of those topics, scoffers will come along and say how silly you are to believe that someone built a giant boat and all the animals got on it and there was a flood that covered the world. And I understand that those things do sound silly. And when you hear people talk about some of those stories in the Bible, we are tempted to go along with them a little bit because it seems like maybe we should just look at the Bible and keep the stuff that makes sense and we can sort of leave the others out. We don't really need to believe in a big boat full of animals and a worldwide flood to be Christian. If we just believe the easy stuff and we know that's all true, and if we just believe the stuff that makes sense, we wouldn't have to argue with all those people that scoff about the Bible. But then we get to the reading from today, and it says that Jesus raised a man who had been dead 4 days. Why do you suppose he waited 4 days? You have any idea? It turns out that the intelligent thinking of the day was that a soul stayed around the body for 3 days. So if the body came alive in 3 days, it could be just because the soul went back in the body. So Jesus waited 4 days on purpose. But did he really raise a guy that had been dead and buried 4 days? I begin to wonder. Because if you can't believe in a boat full of animals, how can you believe that a man who's been dead 4 days comes back to life again? And I guess you could listen to other explanations, and there are other explanations for how Jesus accomplished this miracle. One of them is Lazarus wasn't really dead. He was just in a coma. And when Jesus called out in that loud voice, he woke from his coma and he staggered out. Because in those days, they didn't check people to make sure they were dead. They just wrapped them and threw them in the tomb. So maybe that was it. Or it could be that they staged the whole thing, that they put some food in the cave and they had him go in the cave and stay 4 days because they planned for Jesus to make a grand entrance into Jerusalem. And the way they do it is to have somebody be raised from the dead. Or it could be they just made the story up. We don't really need this story to be a Christian, do we? I mean, we could let this one go because all you really need to be a Christian is Jesus. So maybe if we just drop this story and all the stories that don't make sense and we just hang on to Jesus, we'll be okay. The thing is, there's something about that story in Jesus that's a little hard to believe. If you're just picking out the stories that don't make sense, you're going to get stuck with Jesus. He died. I mean, that's one we're pretty sure of. The Romans were very good at crucifying people. They nailed him to the cross. They took a guard and they stood there and had the guard stand there until he died. And after he was dead, they stabbed him with a spear. He was dead. On the third day, his tomb was empty. And it's just not just the Bible. There are other records that show they actually killed Jesus. There are other records to show his tomb was really empty. They made up a story. The enemies did that. The disciples moved the body, but they do not deny that the tomb was empty. And I guess we could go along with that too. I mean, we could make it kind of a story that tells us that God loves us. The thing is, I need this story to be true. I need this to be history. All of our religion relies on the truth of this one event. Jesus died. And he was really dead, and he rose again, and he's really alive now. The Bible is a book filled with impossible stories. It would be hard for me to pick any one that made sense. Three men are thrown in a fiery furnace so hot that it kills the guys that are throwing them in, and they're not hurt. Angels are there with six wings who are so powerful, one of them can outfight an army of 180,000 men. The list could go on and on. And maybe you have picked some of them out that aren't true. Maybe you picked a few out that are a myth. I believe every single one of them. If the Bible says something is true, I believe that it's true. It's partly because I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and God Himself says that His Word is true. Through the mouths of prophets, He has said His Word is true. Jesus quoted some of those Old Testament stories, and Jesus believed they were true. And the Bible says if you are to change one little part of the Bible, that it's a sin. I believe the Bible is all true, partly because it's the Word of God, but mostly because the most important story in the Bible is the least believable, and that one says God sent His Son on purpose to die in my place, and He did it because He loved me. To me, the greatest mystery of all is this one. Even if I don't understand how God could be born in the world and how God could do all of that stuff and how He could die and rise again, that's not the greatest mystery. It's the why. I cannot understand He loved me enough to give His Son to die on the cross. Eternal God, who was never created and would never die, purposely died on the cross because He loves me. It's the most impossible thing in the Bible and the hardest to believe. Give me a good day when I'm doing everything. Well, that's never happened, okay? But if it did, when things are going well, I can feel I'm loved by God. When the weather's good or my garden is growing well or I do something right, or when things are going well, I can believe it. But give me a dark day when things are not going so well, and it doesn't feel like God loves me. And it's very hard to believe that God would do that for me. I don't even think I deserve it. I do not think I earn it because of the things I have done that day. On that day, the mystery is even more difficult to believe. How could God love me this much? And here's where we come to the story. It is not just words. It was not just a promise made. He did that. He did die on the cross. He did do that for me. He did rise again. Action does speak louder than words. I see part of this mystery in the name of God. When Moses said, "Who are you? Who shall I say sent me?" to the people of Egypt, God said, "Tell them, My name is Yah." He says, "Tell them Yahweh sent you." Yahweh is the Hebrew for I am. I love that description of God. I am. God just is. Wasn't born, did not begin, will not die, will not end. God just is. I believe that His love for me is the same way. It is. God loves me. Doesn't change, doesn't go up and down, isn't motivated by what I have earned on that day. God loves me. God loves you. That's the message of that tremendous name of God. I believe creation has the same essence. I believe it happened because God did it. I believe heaven is real because God built it. I believe prayers are heard because God promises to hear them. I believe our life is guided. God is impossible, and yet God is. God does impossible things, and yet I believe all of them are true. They are the facts of my life. Those are not Bible stories. I believe it's Bible history. And those are not Bible myths. I believe they are Bible facts. So when you feel unloved, and when you feel like something is not going right in your life, and you feel like maybe you have earned some kind of trouble in your life because you weren't as good as you should be, understand the measure of God's love is that cross. The measure of God's love is the death of His Son. The measure of God's love is so much bigger than anything we could throw at God. Understand that you are loved that much. God granted in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.